Okay, so hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Fall Global. This is where we connect with global first entrepreneurs, HR, and talent acquisition leaders from all around the world. Our guest today is Andy Olsen, a Senior Director of People at Muta. Andy, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Vit. Happy to be here.
Andy, before we start, could you maybe please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Andy Olsen. Like you said, I'm a Senior Director of People here. My role lately has been focused more on culture, employee engagement, both here in the U.S. and internationally. I'm based out of Columbus, Ohio, where we have one of our offices. I've been in talent acquisition. Probably going on 17 years now. My background's in counseling, so I went to school for counseling, worked in vocational counseling in a nonprofit setting, then got into executive recruiting, and then have done talent acquisition and HR in a lot of different companies, Fortune 500 companies, to where I'm at now, more in a startup environment.
So you worked with really global international companies like Accenture, for example, that serves like clients from 100 countries, I guess.
120,
120, oh my God. So, and maybe they have offices in 20 plus countries or so. Anyway, so, and now you work with Muta, which also like an international company with offices in the US and the UK, right? So, so you took different roles in absolutely different companies. I guess my question is, how would you describe your personal leadership philosophy in like right now, and how has it evolved throughout your career?
Yeah, boy, that's really interesting. So, personal leadership philosophy. I'm a real simple guy, it's kind of changed. I think. For my personal journey, it's kind of gone backwards. I think in the beginning of my career, it was really looking towards leaders and seeing kind of what they did, but then understanding really quickly that a lot of people are all show and no substance. And I really kind of felt that early on in my career. So I've kind of, my philosophy is you want to treat people the way they want to be treated, always, and always act by intention, meaning always take the time, be intentional about what you're doing in everything. And that has really served me well, especially here at Muta. The role that I'm in and the role I've been in since the beginning has always been focused on what do our people need and how can we best support them. And if I'm treating people the way that I want to be treated and I'm being intentional, that's going to build that trust and that rapport that is so, so critical, especially in a growing company that is, kind of ebbing and flowing. You've got really good times, and you've got really challenging times where you have to band together. So again, I feel like my leadership philosophy has kind of gone backwards in a sense to just really focusing on the basics and being simple and intentional and doing that really, really well.
And I guess a million dollar question, what helped you become successful in terms of your career? Can you share maybe some principles or approaches that you follow even now?
Yeah, well, I've been really fortunate to work under really great leadership. So in the executive recruiting, my time in executive recruiting coming out of nonprofit counseling work, the individual that I worked for, the firm that I worked for, they were hiring people that did not come out of a recruiting background. It was very consultative, very high touch. We were working with executives. We were working with boards of directors on some very critical searches. So from there, I really learned you've got to be intentional. You've got to be high touch. You've got to provide, the best service, and you've got to be prepared for all situations. Then carrying that into the corporate world, again, working under some really great leaders and mentors, coming to Muta. I've had the privilege of working under a head of people, Ross Hecox, who really very altruistic, really understood, supporting people, understanding what motivates them. And then, you know, moving on from that, working for our chief operating officer, Mary Byrne, whose philosophy, number one, is people first. And that's kind of like our mantra. You know, whatever anyone's going through, we're going to drop everything and we're going to attend to what our needs are of our people and support them.
You know, I've always believed that diverse experiences bring like this unique strengths, right? So your background in mental health, for example, is intriguing. And it reminds me of a kind of report that I read recently on the this growing importance of mental well-being in the workplace. So I guess that report highlighted that that companies with strong mental health support see a 30% increase in productivity. And also something that was mentioned that 70% of employees believe that support for mental health boosts loyalty, right? Yeah. So how do that specific background and maybe skills come into play in your daily work?
Yeah, great question. One that I've given a lot of thought to, and it, you know, certainly my thinking on this has evolved over the years. You know, look, I went to graduate school. My goal was to go on, get a PhD, and you know, teach and be a counselor. When my wife and I moved back to Ohio, it was kind of a rude awakening. I probably should have understood the business side of counseling before going into grad school. So lesson learned. But as I talked to counselors in the field, I quickly learned, hey, this is not going to be a long-term career path for me. So I had to pivot. And, you know, early in my career, I really would beat myself up about that. You know, I spent all this money on this graduate degree. I spent all this time. I invested all of this effort into doing something. And now I'm doing something completely different. As I've progressed in my career, I can now look back and say, hey, what I learned in graduate school, what I learned in my mental health training, I use every day in the interactions that I have with our people. And I get to do it in more of a less restrictive environment, if that makes sense. And it's really served me well because I've been able to build trust with people. I count it a privilege to be able to sit with people in their pain. You know, even in recruiting, you know, my philosophy for talent acquisition is you've got a very small window of time to really grab someone's attention. And if you're genuine and intentional and you connect to someone's pain very quickly and showcase how we're different, then that's a really good foundation to build upon in the interview process. And so starting that in the interview process, doing that here at work, building that trust by being intentional, by dropping everything and spending time with people to understand what they're going through. Again, that all points back to that mental health training and that counseling. And, you know, we take it very seriously. I'm very lucky to be able to work in an environment that really supports that. So we do that through me, through my colleagues who also share that philosophy. You know, we also take healthcare very, very seriously here. So we pay for all of the medical premiums for our employees. We make a contribution annually to a health reimbursement account that covers and exceeds your deductible. We've also introduced during the pandemic a digital mental wellness platform called Modern Health that all of our employees and their families have access to get supplemental mental health services or mental well-being. So it's not just therapy. It's it could touch on a whole different host of different services, including financial coaching, business coaching, life coaching. It's something that we take very seriously. Our CEO is very passionate about that. And as such, it just kind of trickles down into our organization.
Yeah. And it is clear, like you mentioned, that culture is a key pillar in your approach, right? Absolutely. So at Globee, in my company, we've seen how a strong culture can transform the entire organization. So let's dive into that, right? So you have emphasized the importance of a connected company culture at Immuta, right? Yes. So could you share a specific maybe example where kind of fostering this culture directly impacted talent acquisition or maybe retention?
Oh man. You know, I could think of so many. So speaking in broader terms, you know, when you look at what we do, and as a company, what we do and what our mission is, has always been very innovative. In the early days, people would acknowledge we had a great product, but they weren't willing to take a chance on it because what they had internally worked well for them. So we've always kind of gone to market with a chip on our shoulder. It's always been kind of a David and Goliath scenario. We've got passionate people that want to dig in and do the impossible together. I think from a culture standpoint, we've always done really, really hard things, but we've always done them together. And we've always had each other's back. A lot of our leadership and a lot of our folks here come from a military background. And so we use a lot of military terms, being in the foxhole together, having your battle buddy, so on and so forth. And again, that's just a broad kind of example, but I think we all share that passion to do the impossible. If someone tells us you can't do this, we're going to prove them wrong. And from a customer standpoint, it's changing their minds about data security. It's like, hey, this is the problem we have, and we can go in and say, hey, we can solve that problem, and we can add value in other areas as well. So it's kind of changing hearts and minds as it relates to data security. But doing that, we engage our full workforce, right? So I remember a couple of years ago, we closed a 7-figure deal. I think it was one of our first big deals in the company. We closed that deal because we had a junior software engineer who was able to articulate to the buyer a certain functionality that our product could do. And that was the missing linchpin that really kind of took that deal across the finish line. So it's like all hands on deck, and we celebrate that. And it really empowers people to know that, like, regardless of your role here, you can do big, big things, right? So again, I don't know if that gets to your culture question. I think specific events, right? We're not Silicon Valley. We're not flashy. We're very scrappy, quirky in some regards. And when we bring everyone together in one place, like we're going to do here in February with our annual sales kickoff meeting, it's just incredible to see people face to face, to see the interactions, the experiences, talking about war stories, deals that were going sideways that we ended up closing, or customers that were on the verge of churning that we've rescued, right? You just see the passion and the dedication from our folks when we talk about that. And it's really invigorating, because again, you're taking a whole bunch of folks from a whole bunch of different backgrounds who are really passionate and believe in what we're doing. And then we're talking about those wins, and we're reflecting on where we came from and where we're going. I love it. You want to catch that feeling. You want to catch that lightning in a bottle, and you want to replicate that always.
Yeah, and you mentioned that it's a significant part of your company is remote, right? So, yeah. And I guess this shift to remote work has been a game changer for many companies, including your company. And my question is, what strategies have you implemented at Immuta to build this trust and among remote teams, right? Yeah. That are based maybe even not in the U.S., maybe not even in a different continent, let's call it like that.
Sure. Yeah. So Immuta, we operate in 11 different countries, which is wild to think about. Some of those countries, we've got one person. Others, we've got multiple people, right? And so I think, again, it goes back to being intentional, right? It goes back to managers taking the time and being intentional about engaging their folks, making sure they don't feel like they're on an island, right? When I was at Accenture, we had 700,000 people in 120 countries. And it was interesting in the fact that we were very well connected, but it was really tough to build that kind of sticky factor because we were all remote. I was managing a remote team who I was very close to, but I never met them in person, not once. And so you've got to be intentional. You've got to put the time in. You've got to go the extra step to really understand, as much as folks will allow you in, you know, what makes you tick? What are you passionate about? And then you got to pull those levers, right? But you got to do it in a genuine, genuine way. And then also, I think, you know, you've got to create opportunities for folks to get together or to bond over common interests. And we do that in a couple of different ways here at Immuta. So we've got engineers, you know, who live all over the country. And we've got a couple of different what we call pods that kind of focus on different aspects of our product or different product features. And we're very bullish on getting people together, whether it be, our pods, right? So getting people together, doing offsites on a quarterly basis, right? So that we can get together, do important work, but also have fun together and get to know each other outside of the office, right? And these are groups that include, you know, you've got engineering, you've got product management, you've got testers. Sometimes our customer success folks are involved in that. So however we can build community in person around different initiatives that we're doing, we're going to do that. And we're going to take full advantage of the time that we have spent together. You know, on a from a remote standpoint, you know, we utilize Slack, is like a lot of tech companies do. And, you know, we've got a lot of people that are active on Slack. We've got a lot of channels that are dedicated to specific interests. And it might seem a little bit silly, but, you know, if you can find common ground over a shared interest, whether it be barbecue or baking or parenting, we've got channels dedicated to all of that. It just gives you an insight into, hey, this person in a completely different department that I've never met has the same interest, right? And then you share that interest and, you know, you build upon that. And I think you've got to have a lot of those touch points, those intentional touch points to build that foundation of trust. And when you have that, you can do really, really hard things that really focus on our mission and what we're trying to accomplish as a business. Mm-hmm. So that's just a couple of examples.
Yeah. You know, one of the crucial parts of remote work is basically this aspect of data security, right? Yeah. And that's a crucial element in today's world, especially in the tech company. Like, and given Immuta's focus on data security, right? How does this influence your talent acquisition process and maybe the kind of talent you look for?
Yeah, we're looking for people who are very passionate about privacy and data security, almost obsessed with it, right? And so it's interesting because we're looking for folks that have a niche technical skill set. We're always using cutting edge technologies. We always have. We're looking for folks who are passionate about that. But on the flip side, we're equally as important as that kind of tech focus is the culture aspect. I mean, I got to tell you, we've become very confident on passing on really, really good people who might have the technical acumen to do really well here, but we recognize that from a culture standpoint, it's not going to be a fit. Again, I go back to my statement. We're a very scrappy company. You could be successful somewhere else and have all this, you know, I hate this word, but have all this quote unquote pedigree, but it may not translate here at Immuta. So it's understanding, you know, having that technical background, being passionate about data security, being creative and curious, being engaging, all of those are hallmarks of what we're looking for in a really, really good hire. But I would put at the top of that list cultural fit for sure. And again, it's something that's evolved over the years. You know, in the past, we've traded culture fit for a specific skill set to get us to where we need to get to. And I would say almost every single time it's backfired on us. And so we've become very confident in our ability to understand what works here and what doesn't. Every single hire is critical. Every single hire.
And, you know, that's interesting that you mentioned that. There was a recent study I read about the future of talent acquisition. And that study predicted that around 70% of all companies will prioritize like a soft skills equally or even more than technical skills, yeah. You know. And that's interesting. And with that, I have another question about the future of talent acquisition and yeah. how do you see this? We have this AI in place, right? So we have a lot of things that are going on. So what do you see as a biggest maybe challenge and maybe the biggest challenges and opportunities in talent acquisition in maybe next 5 years?
Yeah, boy. So I'm very old school in this regard. And I'm also an older guy too. So, you know, I went to a talent acquisition conference last year. And it was just very eye-opening to hear kind of quote unquote experts talking about how they source and how they attract talent. And quite honestly, it kind of freaked me out because a lot of what people were talking about was, you know, and again, their companies, keep in mind, their companies are very different. What they're looking for could be different, and that could influence their strategies. But it felt very impersonal and invasive to me. You know, some of the stuff that they were talking about and how they were utilizing certain technologies to get talent or to get people interested. You know, and I took that back to my team and I shared that with them. And it was nice to get kind of the reality check that everything that's new, AI, all of this, you know, all of this emerging tech in the talent acquisition space, it might work really, really well for some companies. And it might be some of that stuff we might leverage for ourselves as well. But by and large, I think a lot of that isn't going to work here at Immuta. And so I think what is going to work for us and what will continue to work for us is really kind of show, again, like I said, connecting to people's pain, showcasing why we're different, taking a genuine interest in that individual. I can't tell you how many people walk into our interview process and they're so guarded because maybe they interviewed at Google or they interviewed at Amazon or somewhere else, and they're expecting to be surprised and be put on the spot and have to do some coding assignment that they weren't prepared for. Our process couldn't be further from the truth. We are so personable. We want to understand who you are as an individual. We're confident enough in our ability to hire the right people that we're going to touch on the tech stuff and we're going to get to that, but that's not going to dominate the conversation. That's going to be part of the conversation. And you know, once folks come on board, you know, I think it's really interesting. The feedback I've gotten time and time again for folks is like, okay, the honeymoon period's over. It was an incredible interview experience. It was very different from what I experienced from other tech companies. When's the other shoe going to drop, right? And then they start to get acclimated through the onboarding process and they're meeting people and they come back to me and they're like, you are actually telling the truth through the interview process. This is really what it is and more, you know? So again, I'm sure, I mean, we always are evaluating best practices. How can we get better? How can we streamline our process, be more efficient? How can we utilize certain technology? But at the end of the day, we really lean into the fundamentals and doing those really, really well. And I gotta say, our talent acquisition team, we've got an individual here leading TA at Immuta. She comes from a counseling background. And so that really works for our culture. And it really works for the type of people we're hiring because she understands, you know, how to do the simple things that really make a difference and do those really, really well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andy, for sharing all your insights and thoughts. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
Yep.